Amen. Well, good evening, church.
Good evening.
All right. I'm a little nervous. I'm always nervous to preach in front of my home church. I love you all, and I don't want to do you a disservice. You don't need more of me. You need more of the Lord. You need more of what he says, not what I think or what any man thinks, but what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So with that being said, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we sure do thank you and love you for your word, Lord. And as these men got up here and prayed, Lord, my heart was touched, Lord. We are burdened. Many people in here are burdened, Lord. We're not going to be naive to think people that come into your house, even though they smile, everything's going great on the inside, Lord. I may be one of those people at times, Lord. Father God, I can put on a good front. Lord, forgive me of that, Lord. But Lord, thank you for your spiritual hospital, Lord. A place where we can find rest, we can find comfort for our souls in your word and what is preached from this here pulpit, Lord. We sure do love you, Lord. Father, I need you, Lord, this evening. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. All is vain unless your Spirit comes down, Lord. And we ask of you, Lord, to please, Lord, just sweep through this place. Touch the hearts of those that you would touch, Lord. And Father God, if there is one person here, maybe more than that, that's not saved tonight, or struggles with their salvation, I pray that they get that thing settled tonight, Lord. We sure do love you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, hide me behind your cross, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. And I need your unction tonight, Lord. Fill me with a special purpose here tonight. This is my church family here, Lord, and I just don't want to do them a disservice, Lord. Father, get my flesh out of the way, Lord. If there's anything that I have not put under your blood, I do it now and ask you and beg you for your forgiveness, Lord. When all these things we pray, in the name that's above every name, in Jesus Christ's name, our soon coming King, no name greater, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles here tonight, we're going to hit the ground running tonight. I want you to open it up, Pastor Russo, to the book of Nehemiah. Amen. The book of Nehemiah. Every time it seems like I preach, somebody is running all over my message. Amen. So the book of Nehemiah, it was a blessing. It was confirmation of the Lord to read this here tonight and to preach this message here tonight. Last week in South Buffalo, I told somebody last week, I said, we're in Buffalo. No, you're not. You're in South Buffalo. I'm okay, what's the difference? You're South. Okay, all right, there it is. It's settled. Praise the Lord. I must have offended him or something. But I was preaching at Travis Lewis's church, Hilltop Baptist Church, and as I was preaching that message, the Lord brought me somewhere else for the next one. I hope it's a blessing to you tonight as it was and is and still is to me. I want you to know that as I'm preaching to you, I'll be preaching to myself also. There will be times I might look a little sideways because the Lord pricks my heart as I'm preaching. Amen. Any of us here that have preached before know that that happens often times. All right. And that's what the Word of God is for. One of the parts is so it, as I've heard it said before, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's to tan your hide at times. Amen. When we're out of line, it puts us in line. Amen. So praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them up, and I know you do, to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I'm going to bring you up to speed a little bit on what is going on. The book of Nehemiah is penned by a man named Nehemiah. Where's my son, Braden? Braden, where are you at? Oh, my goodness. What's going on? Before Braden was Braden, we thought about naming him Nehemiah. But my wife has this thing about long names. She doesn't want anybody giving him a nickname like Nanny or anything like that. I was set on Nehemiah. You're like, why Nehemiah? He built a wall, praise the Lord. I wanted my son coming out with a 5 o'clock shadow. You know what I mean? That Popeye look on his face. You know, give me that bottle. You know what I mean? I wanted a tough guy, but Nehemiah was gone. So it was Braden. I think it was the first name we agreed on without any issues, right? One of them. Ava, yeah, she's trying to be nice right now. Don't let her fool you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, okay? Now, at this time, we are ending the captivity of the children of Israel. You say, why were they in captivity? In layman's terms, and to keep it simple, it was because of their sin, amen? They did things contrary to the word of God. Just prior to this, and just prior, what's going on, Joe? It's not on? Okay. So what are you saying here? That's it right there? We're good? You sure? Say amen if we're good. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so praise the Lord. Where was I? Okay, at this time, All right. The children of Israel are ending their 70-year, close to ending their 70-year term of captivity. You say, why were they in captivity? And just to keep it simple, it was because of their sin. Nothing like running over ruts again. Amen? Because of their sin. Why? Because of the commandments from the beginning that Moses had given them and warned them that they should keep these commandments. And we see this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you would go there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will. Like here in the pages of that Bible. Go into 28. I want you to go to verse 4. Chapter 28. And we're going to go to verse 4. All right. Well, this is talking about the blessings of those that keep the covenant, God's people, when they keep his commandments. And through 27, 28, and 29, we see what's going to happen to them, the blessings that happen to the children of Israel when they keep his commandments. We also see the curses that are going to come if they choose to disobey those same commandments through there. He says here in verse 4 of 28, he says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be the basket of thy short. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall it be when thou goest out. Why? Because they keep the Lord's commandments. Why are there commandments for the children of Israel, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, because God wanted to keep them safe. Amen. They were his chosen people. He made them the way he wanted them to make. And he said, hey, I got some rules I want you to follow. By the way, young people, mom and dad don't make rules just to make your life, you know, just hard. They don't do that. Okay, in this book, we're in the book of Nehemiah, and as I mentioned before, he's responsible for heading up the charge to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, amen? Why do we have walls? I'm getting a little ahead, but hang with me. We have walls. Walls are put up around cities to keep what out? To keep the enemy out. To keep intruders out. We have fences around our house to keep intruders out. The same thing should be in our lives. Young people, our parents put rules and boundaries and stuff in our lives. Why? They want to keep the enemy out. Amen. That's not to make it hard on you. Teenager, if you're here tonight, it's not to be hard on you. Is my dad here? He's here. He's in here. Yes, he is. Hey, Pop, how you doing? Young people, I want you to know something. Before I met Jesus, my dad was my hero. Did you hear that? And yes, he made a lot of mistakes. And yes, there were times I looked at other people's dads and said, well, my dad be, Lord, forgive me and help me for that. Mm-hmm. Parents married together for 44 years, married for, how old am I? 43 years before she passed. You got a parent in here tonight. You need to be thanking God. You got parents that are together here tonight. You need to be thanking God. I know you see things that may not be godly in your household. Can I tell you what? They're still together. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a fight going on that's attacking our families today. You need to pray for your parents. Amen. All right, that's not my message tonight, but praise the Lord. The children of Israel, okay, back to the message here, Nehemiah. The children of Israel, all right, they're in captivity because they disobeyed the commandments of God. And I'm choking up here because I got to get my water here, amen. So, as we see here, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see the obedience of Israel. If the children of Israel obey the commandment, the blessings will come. We also see if they disobey, the curses that will come. Turn with me again, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. I'm just getting you up to speed here a little bit. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, and it's prophesied here by Jeremiah the prophet that because of the children of Israel and their disobedience, and if they chose to be disobedient to the Lord, the things they were doing, worshiping idols and so on and so forth, putting other things before their God, mixing with other people outside of their culture and stuff, amen, that God did not want them to do, that something else was going to happen. In 25, chapter 25, it says, the word of the Lord, the word that came to Jeremiah, we'll start at verse 1, hang with me here a little bit, concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and that's important, king of Judah at this time, all right, well, this is just before this, we had the book of the kings, and Jerusalem was split up into Israel, excuse me, was split up into two parts. You had the northern part, which persisted of 10 tribes, and then the southern part, Judah, which persisted of two tribes. And at that time, one was run by Jehoiakim and or Jeroboam and Rehoboam at the time. Okay, so they were split in two. All right, 10 up top, 2 at the bottom. And here we have Jeremiah. He's letting them know from the top. He says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Pay attention here. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. All right, it says, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So he's telling everybody, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. They did not hearken. They did not listen to him. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early, sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Then said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods, as we talked about. They were serving false idols and stuff and fake gods, other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me, the Lord their God, to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. He says, hey, if you obey me and my commandments, no hurt, no cursing will come upon you. But then we see the results. If they don't heed that commandment, in chapter 25, we have verse 11, and it says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. I told you, pay attention to the name. King of Babylon, 70 years. So the children of Israel are now in captivity, all right? So now I want you to go to the book of Daniel. Hurry, go to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 1. I told you, pay attention to the name Nebuchadnezzar, all right? King of Babylon. So when you get to Daniel, chapter 1, say amen. Yep. All right, two of you. If you get to the book of Daniel, say amen. Amen. All right. In the third year, the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and what? Besieged it. There's a prophecy that is fulfilled. Why? Because of their disobedience to God, because they weren't following his commandments. And at this time, the children, they rebelled against the king. And then we have, I believe, in a phase of three different times that children of Israel were kind of escaping that. Under different kings. We see during that time period, we have Daniel, who served under multiple kings, all right, Darius, Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, and such. And we know these figures as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It took the best that they had, all right, the young people that were crafty in sciences and everything like that. And we see the captivity with our own eyes. And here we are, post that, a little bit in the book of Nehemiah. Now go to the book of Nehemiah. Back to the book of Nehemiah. I know we're jumping around a little bit. Hang with me here. The book of Nehemiah. Now Nehemiah is the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, a Persian king. And a cupbearer, what is a cupbearer? Well, he bears a cup. Amen. All right, and he's taking it to the king, and it is told and it is said that he would taste that wine. He would test it and make sure that it wasn't dangerous to drink or anything like that. And I just heard that. I don't know how true that is, but I just heard that, and I've been doing some studying on that, so I believe there's some truth in that. So forgive me if it's not. Tell me afterwards, and we'll meet in the parking lot and talk about like two tough guys. Amen? Praise the Lord. So anyway, all right, so he's the cupbearer. Nehemiah is a child of the captivity. We don't know his early upbringing. There's nothing in here that I can see, and I could be wrong. Again, tell me afterwards, all right? If I'm wrong, we don't know anything about his background, nothing about his youth or anything like that. All we know is he's a cupbearer for the king at this point, Artaxerxes. And his brother comes to him in chapter 1 of Nehemiah and tells him, his brother tells him the state of Jerusalem and tells him of those that have escaped the captivity. And when he hears about Jerusalem, go there with me, Nehemiah chapter 1, before we go to 4. Nehemiah chapter 1. So the words of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews. Nehemiah was concerned. Hey, how are the Jews doing? How are my people doing? How are they doing that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem? Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now watch this, verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words. Now, this book is penned by Nehemiah. We know, but he says, I, right? He says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and, prayed before the God of heaven. That'd be a good thing to do when we're burdened with something, when we hear some horrible news, is to pray. Amen? Is to pray. And we see here that Nehemiah, as he prays and he's burdened, he comes before the king again. And the king notices that his countenance is different. He notices that he's troubled. He notices that something's wrong with him. And the king asks him, and I'm paraphrasing this, what's wrong with you? Now, it could have been a whole 20 years. It says in the 20th year, he might have been doing this for 20 years for the king. And if that's the case, that's a long time. The king would notice any little thing different with Nehemiah. And he did. His countenance was different. He said, what's wrong with you? He says, hey, how can I sit here with a straight face when my home is in rubble? And I look at the state, I hear of the state of my people. The Bible tells us a little later on that the gates were breached and they were on fire. It was nothing but rubble. Can you imagine that? That's like, I grew up in Clifton Springs. That's like leaving home, coming back, and it's nothing but carnage. A place where I played with friends, a place where I played football, a place where I had my youth. I'd be burdened about that. Nehemiah was burdened about that. So he makes a request of the king to go back. And that brings us up to chapter 4. The king grants his request. And as the king grants his request, he gives him a little fine print for some supplies to do such, to rebuild the wall, to help his city. But before he does that, where he's from, he does a little recon mission. All right, he goes through, him and the king, some of the king's servants go with him, and he looks around, sees the rubble, sees the carnage, probably sees some people walking around. And at this point, we can see that people probably don't notice him or recognize him, which gives me the indication that maybe it's possible he's never even been there. But he had a burden for his people. He had a burden for what was happening in Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall of the city. Remember, I told you earlier that walls are built to protect us. If you don't have a wall, you have no protection. Can you imagine that? Living in, if I had no protection in my home, if my kids did not have a father, if my kids did not have a mother that cared for them, put rules in their life, it's a home without protection. See how troubling that can be to somebody? How troubling it was to Nehemiah? So moving forward and getting us back up to speed the rest of the way, amen, we see that Nehemiah, he grants his request, he goes to Israel, he tells the children there, he says, hey, this is what the Lord has put on my heart. He wants me to rebuild this wall. And they say, okay. They hear what he says and they say, let's build. That'd be nice. That when you're trying to do something great for the glory of God, that some people will get on board and say, all right, let's build. Let's go. Sometimes it's hard just getting one person to help you out. I'm just being real sometimes. Sometimes that person's me. You know, when it's a job that needs some heavy lifting, like, you know, I could use, you know. And I'm like, oh, you could. All right. Get somebody else. You know, Lord, help me. Sometimes we're like that. But it's good when somebody wants to help. And they see that you have a burden. That burden becomes their own. And say, let's build. And we see here Nehemiah, as he starts this process, he puts a plan together. We see the leadership of Nehemiah here as well. He starts putting this plan together, and they begin the process of rebuilding this wall. And here we go. We're pretty much up to speed in chapter 4, if you will. Chapter 4. Let's go to verse 8. Now, right here in verse 8, just before verse 8, as they start the work, I want you to understand something. When they start the work, they have these guys, these pests that are messing with them. They're trying to discourage them from doing the work. They're trying to get in the way of him trying to do something that's good. They're trying to do something for the Lord, something that the Lord has put on his heart and the king has granted his request to do. So verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them. And because the work to cease, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the Lord places behind the wall and on the higher places, and I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and our God had brought their counsel to not, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Verse 17. They which builded, pay attention here, verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held on a weapon. You're like, man, that's a whole lot just to get to this point, Mr. Rice. Yeah, it is, I know. But we're going somewhere with this. I want you to see here in the beginning, Nehemiah is at the work. He prayed when he was burdened. He prayed before he even made a decision to come up with a plan to come before the king again. It was no small deal to come before a king, by the way, in those days. It was not. So that is a bold move. We see that he really means it in his heart. He's really burdened for his people so much he's willing to risk his own safety to come before the king and say, put his countenance down first off, and then make a request. I don't go to England and go before the queen out of the blue. I'm not going to make it past the courtyard. I don't go to the White House and just jump in. You know, I'm not working there either like he was. So that might be a bad example. All right, moving back here. But, praise the Lord. All right. But he prayed with his burden. He prayed before he made his decision and request before the king. And he put his plan into progress as he wandered amongst the place. And at one point, didn't even tell anybody what he was doing, why he was there, or anything. And he put the plan in place, and he came to the children of Israel. He said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And they got on board and said, let's build. And then he had his pests by the name of Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. I'm telling you. Have you ever been there? You're involved in the work of the Lord. You're doing something for God, and all of a sudden, something comes up. It could be at work. It could be anywhere. You're trying to do something good, and here comes something to disrupt it. We see Nehemiah here is at the work. He's trying to do something good. He's trying to do something the Lord put on his heart. As Jeremiah said, thine eye hath affected thy heart. What he heard wasn't just his eye, it was what he heard affected his heart, and he wanted to do something about it. And I believe the Lord was on board because he gave him provision for the vision, and now he's at it. And now we have people already, Sanballat and all of them, already trying to discourage him, tell him, he ain't building that wall. Matter of fact, his buddy next to him, Tobiah, is like, hey, you're going to put a fox in that wall, it's going to fall down. You ever have that happen to you? You're doing something, somebody's trying to discourage you from doing it. Can I tell you, there's people that are in the ministry today that I talk to, and they get so discouraged, and I understand it. Listen, I'm not a pastor. I see what some pastors go through, and I'm going to pray for you. That's crazy. But they're still at the work. Can I encourage you today, Christian, when you're doing something that's good, that's right, that's for the Lord, those things are going to happen. Pastor Huber used to say the flat tire happens to the saved and the unsaved. I'm like, man, I don't like hearing that. Man. But it's the truth. Don't call it a strange thing. Things will come up. And by the way, just because something comes up in the midst of your calling, come on, hello, your calling, or what it is you're meant to do, or that good work you're doing for the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean the Lord doesn't want you to do it. Sometimes the Lord wants to see you push through. How bad do you want this? You want to do this for me? I'm telling you, Brother Hamilton was in here. I'm going to leave it at that. Praise the Lord. Tell me that he hasn't been discouraged in the field and he's hard at the work. You heard some of the things that he was saying. He needs our prayers. All our missionaries need our prayers. He has a Sanballat, a Tobiah, an Ammonite, a Horonite that are out there trying to discourage the work, just like they were here with Nehemiah and the people of Israel are trying to rebuild the wall. Have you been there, Christian? Discouraged when you're at something good for the Lord. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast. What's the next word? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Steadfast. That's Nehemiah. Because I'm telling you, these guys did not come once. They didn't come twice. And then the next time after that they came, they had a conspiracy. They had a rat in the nest. I'd have been, man, this is not God. He couldn't overcome his heart, what the Lord had put on his heart. He wanted to finish the job. Nehemiah was at the work. You look at what you're doing, fears start arising. You start thinking and contemplating things. You start questioning yourself. You start questioning the very thing God called you to do. Ever been there? Did I make the right decision? As this thing's coming off? Did I say the right thing? Did I say too much? You start questioning everything. Did he even call me? I'm not sure. Am I even saved? I'm just keeping it real. These are some of the questions that come in this guy's heart once in a blue moon. But you know what? Two words, but God. I start thinking about all the things that he's done in my past, not just in my life, but in my parents' life, my in-laws' life. I can't help but to think about where he brought my in-laws from. I saw my mother-in-law today. I thought about those hard prayers for 12 years when people discouraged me about it. Maybe not people, but the adversary in my head is like, I don't think it's been 10 years. I don't know about that. All of a sudden, my preacher gives me a call and says, hey, man, your mother-in-law and father-in-law called and said they're ready to get saved. What? Takes a layman with him from the church, goes over there. I'm downstairs. I'm ironing my church pants for the next day. All of a sudden, my wife's screaming upstairs. I'm dipping. I'm like, what's going on? Braden did something. No, I'm just kidding. Something. Grabbing the paddle. No, I'm just kidding. But she meets me downstairs as I'm going up the stairs. I'm like, what's going on? She's got the phone in her hand. She's like, my parents just got saved. Laboring in prayer for years. Nehemiah was at the work. He didn't get discouraged from it. Though it's not documented, I can't imagine that he didn't think for a second after these guys that are discouraging him didn't get to him a little bit. But it wasn't just himself that he was concerned about. He's leading a people. He's organizing them in different places strategically around this wall. Think about this for a second. 52 days they finished this wall. He goes from being burdened and a cupbearer to now being a governor and a leader of a people that have no protection over their own city. And people in the midst trying to tear down the work before it even gets started. And during when it started. And close to when it's finished. Trying to put a conspiracy theory in there. Not a conspiracy, a conspiracy. Nehemiah was at the work. No matter how much you've prayed, no matter how much you've loved, no matter how much you've invested in that son or daughter or person, discouragement, frustration with that person or situation kept coming. But Nehemiah, in verse 9, he says, nevertheless, we made our what? Prayer unto God. Christian, what's your difficulty today? What's hindering you today? What kind of troubles coming up between that thing you're trying to do for the Lord? What kind of issues are coming up in your household? Parents, what kind of things are you struggling with? Kids, what kind of things are you struggling with that's going to take you farther from the Lord? I want you to think, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. I think so quickly we get discouraged and it becomes so bad, or we become so overwhelmed with the situation that God's not the first solution, but the last resort. And Christian, can I tell you, brethren, can I tell you that is so sad? And I'm going to tell you right now, your guy right here is just as guilty of it at times. Just not that long ago, I had no job, didn't know what I was going to do. I was convinced. I was just telling my wife for my own sanity, oh, God will take care of us. All right. Seriously. Not even 2 weeks later, I had another job. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. And it wasn't just my prayer. It was a prayer of this old boy's church, people around me, my family, my dad, my preachers, my teachers, and everybody. Got to tell you something today, church. Prayer works. Young people, when somebody tells you what you're doing in school and you pray before a test and they get on you about it, you tell them prayer works. All right? Anybody else in here, when somebody gets on you about praying in public over your food, you're in a diet or anything like that, or you're in trouble and tears are coming down your eyes, don't be afraid to look at them and tell them prayer works, and I'm a living example. Yeah. Nehemiah was at the work. It wasn't easy. But then we see that the work, the build persisted. Nehemiah was at the work and the build persisted. Go with me to I'll just quote it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, for sake of time. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, what are you going through this evening? How hard is it? How difficult is it? I'm going to pick on my dad here for a second. Not about my mom, but years ago. Is it all right, Dad? If I could, just a little bit, not the whole thing. With Brett, and he's laughing. Oh, it's a serious incident that happened. Changed my dad's life. My dad was being a help. Nehemiah was being a help. A young man, one of my brother's friends. He's trying to support his kids. Dropped out of high school, wanted to work. Is this okay, Dad? You all right? My dad let him borrow his tractor. Do some work and make some money for God. Brett got in a horrible accident and died using that tractor. The details are heinous and gruesome. My dad and that young man, Brett, his cousin, watched the whole thing, and there was nothing they could do. They tried everything. He was just trying to do a good thing. He was trying to help them. And tragedy struck. I went to the house to see my dad after I got out of work. There was a falling out of my house about that, and had a damaged car after that. It was crazy. But you know what? I was so proud of my dad because I went to go see him. He had already met with his pastor. Dad had already been in prayer. My mom had already been praying for him. What was that? Dad was at the work spiritually. He could have been derailed. I could have sent him in a downward spiral, and that messed with him for years, but he stayed at it, in church, multiple times, helping, cooking, not just where he's at, but even the church we were at before that. He didn't fall out of it. Christian, what are you struggling with today? Hey, I'm not lifting my dad up on a pedestal, but I'm lifting my dad's God up on a pedestal. Nehemiah was at the work. The work persisted. Pastor Hebrews used to say, if you are praying, you're not fainting. And if you're fainting, you're not praying. Nehemiah led people. I don't know. I've heard it said that when you ask 12 different pastors, one thing, you get 13 different answers. It's hard to get anybody to agree on anything. The longer I live, I think that's true. But I remember he came to my house one time on visitation. I was having a rough go with some things, you know, not really bad, but he comes over and he brings a cake. It's missing a piece. I'm like, hey. He says, hey, Brother Rice, Brother Eric, I have this cake for you, man. I was like, amen. Let's go have the feast. Now, he told me one of his kids ate it. I'm looking at him like, it's a pretty good drive from your place to here, man. I'm half of that. He sat down and talked with me, and I sat in my chair, and he was on the couch for like an hour and a half over just nothing. He just spent time with me. He encouraged me. Nehemiah was a leader. He got people to follow him even when it was hard. To rebuild a wall after it's rubbled and torn down cannot be easy. Especially when you got an adversary on the outside of that wall always tempting you and just grinding at you. Then my daughter broke her arms because he was there, of course. I don't know what that was about, but praise the Lord. The build persisted. Verse 7 of chapter 4 tells us that, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. We see that Nehemiah was at the work. We see that despite all the setbacks and all the pests that were involved to stop the work, that the build persisted. It tells us the men and women were weakened and the strength of the burden, of the bearers of burdens were decayed in verse 10. But in verse 9, as we just went over, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. We see a pattern here with Nehemiah. In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. That's after Sanballat and Tobiah and them are driving their conspiracy after them and trying to stop the work and so on and so forth. We go back to chapter 1 in verse 4 when he's first burdened, and it says that it came to pass that I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We see in chapter 2 again in verse 4, it says, then the king said unto me, when he made his request, by the way, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to God of heaven. We see a pattern here with Nehemiah that when things were troubling, he prayed. The Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Doesn't say a little, church. It says much. Can I ask you, how much are you praying? And I also ask you this, it's not quantity, it's quality in prayer. Now, me, when I pray before a meal, I'm sorry, if you're at my house, your food's going to be cold. All right? Because I start preaching, and my kids are like, I say, who wants to pray? I'm like, why do you want to pray? And I say, amen, buddy. And he's like, take me through the food, Lord, amen. And that's it. They're at it. What is that, right? Prayer makes a difference. We see that Nehemiah was at the work. We see that the build persisted despite all the setbacks and the people interrupting. Can I ask you here today, church, Christian, are you weary of that burden? Are you tired of fighting? Let me get serious here with you for a second. Are you tired of praying for that wayward child? Are you tired of praying for that husband or that wife? Are you tired of praying for that person at work and not seeing any fruition from it? Can I tell you something, though? You're praying and you're thinking it's falling on dead ears or deaf ears. It's not. God hears the prayers of his people. I promise you he does. There's times that the problem is that we're impatient. We were on this flesh. We want what we want when we want it. I'm telling you, church, that is not exactly beneficial for us. Because if God gave us everything we wanted in the time in which we want, I can't tell you the trouble that we would probably be in. And I'll just share a little bit. Years ago, my dad knows this, I enlisted in the Marine Corps. 9/11 happened. I was working steel. I was a guardian glass in Geneva. People are putting out flags and everything, and they're leaving the job site, tear it out and stuff, and they're telling Bin Laden where it's at, and I'm re-enlisted and all that other stuff, so I went. I go down there and I'm like, all right, man, let's do this. I get one of my best friends, like, all right, I'll do it with you, you know. Oh, one thing was, I can't, Brother Rice can't hear. I get in that booth and they're like, all right, I get in the booth and the guys are looking at me. I get back out and he said, hey, do you listen to loud music? I said, no, ma'am. He said, all right, we're going to put you back in the booth. And the guys are looking at me like, just keep pressing the button, just keep pressing the button. All right. Well, that made it worse. So now the naval doctor's looking at me and he's like, we're going to try this one more time, son. I'm like, all right, whatever. Nehemiah was at the work. The work persisted. When I couldn't get into serving my country, that shook me to my core. I wanted so bad to do it. But you know what? God had bigger plans for me. Amen. Been at 36 years old, and the sanctuary was this way. Brother Gates was preaching on Ananias, and I talked to Brother Dutton, talking about the call to preach. He said, you need to make that thing public. Sorry, amen. Lord had burdened my heart for years since I was living in Geneva. I may not be a good preacher, and that's all right, as long as the Lord can use whatever I have for his honor and glory. Amen. The build persisted. Can I ask you again, Christian, are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you tired? Do you feel like giving up? Do you feel like giving in? Are your hands weak like the men and children, women? They're on that wall working. The Bible says they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. Can you imagine that? You're trying to do a work. You're trying to protect your own city, your home, and you can't because you've got to look over your shoulder all the time. And he says, all right, here you go. There's a weapon in one hand, and you're doing work with the other. I don't know what that looks like, but that looks like a whole bunch of his pastor would say craziness to me. We think we've got problems. I'm telling you. Though many fight against you, though many adversaries come up, though many situations come up, problems seem overwhelming and too much for you. Remember, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Teenagers, young people, let me ask you a question. You guys are all over the place, by the way. Messing with my peripheral vision. Man. Are you burdened down with something today? Listen, I worked with teenagers for years. All right? I know you guys can speak through anything. I also know you guys and girls can put up a good front. I was one of them. Come in here and put on a smile and everything like that, but inside, something's really going on. Can I tell you, this guy right here loves you. Can I tell you, that guy right there loves you. Can I tell you, the parents in here love you. Can I tell you, people in here praying for you. Because we were there once too. Questions and difficulties and trials and tribulations, toughness, things that you see in your own home. I know what it's like. I didn't grow up in a perfect home. My dad can tell you, he would testify to it. But God changed my dad. He changed my mom. And he can change your home too. He can change your heart. And you would serve him, love him. And whatever's going on, hey, ladies, I get it. I pray I don't go through this, but I have. I got three girls in my house. Yeah. Man. It's not easy. I remember being, Janae's probably, I told her to watch this. She's probably, I'm sorry, honey. But I remember being at Tops getting gas one time. And we got into it, and I was like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. She just hugs me. Like, snow's blowing. I'm pumping gas at the same time. Like, what is going on, man? Parents, don't give in. Please don't. Mark 9:24, we see a story of a child with a dumb spirit. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. But just before they had a child with a dumb spirit, took him to the disciples, and they couldn't do anything. He tells them that this. He tells Jesus. He finally comes to Jesus. He tells Jesus, he says, he's been like this since he was a child. Imagine the frustration of this parent. Imagine the discouragement of this parent. Imagine feeling like, I took them to your disciples. They've been doing healings all over the place, but they couldn't do it with my son. Jesus, what do I do? I'm here. I'm before you now. Can you help me? He's like, yeah, I can if you believe. The dad, I love this. I love this. The dad, with an honest admission, looks at him and says, Lord, I believe. What else? Help thou mine unbelief. He was being real with the Lord. He's like, Lord, I know everything you said and did and everything you said is true. I know you came to this earth, but it's just hard because I've dealt with this whole time. Hey, parent, child, what have you been dealing with for a long time? You feel like it just won't go away. You feel like it just won't stop. Can I tell you it can? The woman with the issue of blood went to so many people, and she was none better till she came where? She came to the feet of Jesus. Worked her way through that press, and he felt that something had come away from him. He knew somebody had touched his garment. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, can I tell you here, teenager, can I tell you here, young person, hey, all you have to do is get close to Jesus. There's going to be no, she had to push through that press. There's going to be those trying to keep you away saying, no, this is better. No, the world has got this. No, they're showing this and this is better. No, push through all that garbage and get to the Lord.
Amen.
Because can I tell you, I've been there. Yeah. You got the t-shirt, I'm telling you. College, football, I'm doing things I ought not to be.
Come on, preach on. Yeah.
Almost ruined my life totally, made some decisions, and it's hard to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I don't think about a specific decision I made when I was younger. But can I tell you, the thing that kept me at that line, towing that line and not necessarily going across, was a crazy preacher from Tennessee that cared enough about me to come to my dorm room and knock on that door, even when I was loaded with people that shouldn't have been in there. I can't tell you how many times I saw the Lord's hand work. And you know why? I can tell you why. Prayer. Somebody that I didn't know was praying for me. When you get to that spot, remember, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Nehemiah was at the work, and I'm finishing up. Nehemiah was at the work. The build persisted. He didn't let anything discourage him from that. And then when there was a rat in the nest, and they wanted him out of the fight, he said, should I go inside and hide and not be out here with everybody else? You're crazy. No, he was a leader. He was a general, if you will. He says, they're building a wall. I'm leading this charge. It's for the Lord. It's something he put on my heart. You're not of God, and I can feel it and tell it. Get out of my way. Get on the train. Get off the tracks. The train's coming through. That's it. Then we see in 52 days he builds this wall. And you're like, okay, you say all that, Brother Rice. What is all that for? It's a whole lot of ranting and raving. What's all that for? What's behind that wall? What's behind that wall? A city? With a people that are God's people? What about those people? God showed himself mighty to those people. What did he do for those people? Oh, he just parted the Red Sea. He brought the plagues so they can be freed from captivity under Pharaoh. What else did he do? He was a pillar of fire by night. Cloud by day. The presence of God was with his people. That was important to him, to get back to the things of old, to where they saw God moving the hand of God over them. The wall is finished. The conspiracies did not prevail. The traps that they set up didn't. The people on the outside of the wall, they're bringing trouble. It didn't prevail. Why? Because nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. We move over to chapter 8, and I'm closing out. Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that the wall is built. The gates, he strategically places people around this wall to get it done in record time. A weapon in one hand and a tool to work with in the other. Sometimes you think a weapon, the definition of a weapon is different from that of a tool, when in fact they can very much be the same thing. A weapon is a tool. Hey, Christian, is that you today? You feel like you're trying to hold this thing together, man. You're doing a work over here for the Lord. trying to keep your kids out of that. Putting some more mortar on it, put another block on that wall. You're trying to, but then something's introduced to them at school. You got to talk to them. You got that weapon in the other hand. Seems like you're doing two jobs at once, and you're not making any progress. Can I tell you, you are. You are. I was that child. Like, I was on the brink of just taking off. I was not saved early on in life. But can I tell you, I felt like the Lord was trying to touch my heart. I'm telling you, junior church, that one day, I can remember like it was yesterday, Sister Buck was leading a song, and I was humming the tune to that song for years and had no idea what it was. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I would hum it. I didn't know the words because I had a hearing problem. She sang that song. Tears started to flow, and I realized, Lord, you had your hand on my life the entire time. That's why you protected me when I was in college. That's why you, because you had a purpose for me. Young person, he has a purpose for you. And I'm telling you, please, I am begging you. If I could drop me my word. But I'm begging you. Please, there's people here care enough about you to pray for you. That you would be used for the Lord. Don't waste it doing things in the world. You'll lose years on your life, I'm telling you. You will. You will. Closing up here. Nehemiah. We see that Nehemiah was at the work. We see Nehemiah persisted. The build persisted. We see here in verse 8, after the completion of a wall, chapter 8, after the wall is completed and let's go to verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, unto the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men, the women, and those that could understand, in the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. How about that? Which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padiah and Mishael and Melchiah and Heshem and Hashbanah and Zariah and Meshulam. Whew. And Ezra opened the book, verse 5, in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They did all that. Nehemiah did all that and rallied up the troops. He built that wall up because he wanted to bring God back into the city. Restore the things of old when God's hand was on his people. Church, can I ask you something today as I close up? What battle are you fighting? What pests are you trying to fight off? People are discouraging you. The situation that seems just impossible or discouraging. Are you remembering, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. As for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Parent, are you out there with that tool in one hand and that weapon in the other? You're just keeping an eye on your... Brother Samson Rhyme, you guys remember him? Pastor, he had a last-minute youth rally here. And we prayed before he preached, and we eyes looked up, and he was in baseball uniform in the back. Like, what in the world? Like Superman, man. Came out of the... What's going on here? And his message was just going to bat. That mama was just going to bat for her baby. Man, I love that message. Love that message. I told him after, so you pray for my brothers. He said, yeah. He goes, what do you need? I said, I need to be in church. Can I tell you that same thing happened? My brother got rooted. My other brother, Brian, he's been under conviction like crazy. Continue to pray for him. Can I tell you, parent, if that's you today, you've got a tool in one hand and the weapon in the other. The work is not in vain and is not going to waste. The Lord hears you. He knows that you're tired. He knows that you may not be able to bear. He knows that you're decaying. But nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. We made our prayer unto God. Remember, church, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Preacher, why don't you come on.
Let's all stand. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. That'll be the invitation tonight. Whatever it is that maybe you're in the thing fighting, feel like you're trying to build and keep away. You got a young person just pushing and discouraging you as a parent. Maybe you just need... Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Man, what a great verse. Maybe you feel like you're all alone in the battle. Feel like giving up. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Whatever it is that the Lord touched your heart about, Heavenly Father, we ask you bless the time of invitation now. God, thank you for the character and example of Nehemiah. And God, I pray that we get a little bit of that. And get a hold of that. And God, that when faced with opposition and discouragement and heartache, and God, we would just bring it to you. That we'd follow his example. Lord, help us with those things. Lord, I pray for those that are heavy-hearted tonight. Lord, I pray that this message was an encouragement to them, knowing that they could bring their situation to you, knowing that you hear. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message that you heard tonight? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God.